Good afternoon. I'm Nicole Berta with the Government Relations Department at APHA, and I welcome you to the Who, What, and How of Advocacy. I'll introduce myself and Maris Ash, our next speaker, and then we'll go ahead and get started. But I also wanted to preface this with, we want this to be very interactive, a lot of discussion. So especially Maris has a lot of questions. We want to get a sense of who's in the room so we can really tailor the discussion to your needs so that you come out with a really good understanding of how to advocate the differences between education, advocacy, and lobbying, especially with your given positions, what makes most sense for you. I see a couple familiar faces from yesterday morning as well, so my presentation is a little similar to that, so I ask you to bear with me, but I will move through it, and then we have a very rich in content with Maris talking about those definitions and differentiating between those pieces of education, advocacy, and lobbying. We want to make sure that everybody walks out with a little bit better understanding. I know sometimes you read the definition and it's like, okay, I understand this, but then when you go to apply it, it doesn't quite feel the same. So we'll have some kind of case studies and practices to walk through that. Maris Ash, for 37 years, she has been the CEO and founder of the Oakland-based Change Lab Solutions. She has advocated steadfastly for public health, helping create communities where the healthiest choice is the easiest choice. The multiple pioneering strategies launched by Change Lab Solutions have transformed our nation's thinking about how to improve health and lower the cost of disease. Change Lab Solutions uses the tools of law, public policy, and community engagement to help all communities, especially those most at risk, improve their health. They work with leaders in every state, in the nation, and throughout every stage of life to create practical and lasting solutions designed to empower people and save money. Maris is also frequently a speaker at leadership conferences, sits on multiple advisory boards, and consults with thought leaders from many fields to design practical solutions to community needs. So please, please, please take advantage of this huge resource in the room today. She has a lot of answers and can provide a lot of support and help. So with that, I'll go ahead and get started to talk about the power of advocacy. And I wanted to start with this quote because I know there's been a lot of frustration with the environment, the current environment in Congress on Capitol Hill. And I know this quote helps me. I have it above my desk. I look at it every day when I start feeling like I'm coming up against roadblocks and thinking about what's even the point of engaging. This quote is by Howard Zinn. It goes, "Democracy is not just a counting up of votes. It is a counting up of action. Without those on the bottom acting out their desires for justice, as the government acts out its needs and power and privilege act out theirs, the scales of democracy will be off." So, and I know mentioning, you know, my frustrations, and then also I've talked to many APHA members and just friends and family, everybody on the street across the board, and just there's this notion that Congress doesn't care what they have to say, what they think, especially as we see that growing rift between the left and the right. But also between, you know, between the inspirations and then also looking back at history, you see that Congress is not typically the first one that acts, that it takes a vast many people speaking out for what they want. If you look at the progressive reforms between 1900 and 1916, the New Deal of the 1930s, the civil rights struggles of the 50s and 60s, and the environmental reform of the 70s, you see that it just took that critical mass of support and that it took the public speaking out to show that there was a strong case that the country was ready for change, that the country wanted change before Congress was willing to act. And I think that same thing is going to be true for when trying to shift and move to a culture of health, to the system that we want that embeds this idea of health and well-being in all aspects of life, including policy, legislation, regulation. And to be able to move away from this reactive model that we have in this culture that we have of quick fixes that only treats the sick. And it's going to take really some meaningful dialogue and just a lot of people engaging on the issue. So with that, I just wanted to talk a little bit about APHA advocacy and that there is really a good potential for shaping the national debate on the issues that impact our nation's health and to really educate and to move Congress in the direction that we would like them to go in to support the public's health. Our overarching goal at APHA is to become the healthiest nation in one generation. And we as staff do this by engaging in advocacy, lobbying, and communication efforts. And also, we try to do our best by providing opportunities for APHA members, affiliates, and others to engage and become part of this unified and loud voice. And that's exactly it. Your voice is absolutely essential to be able to amplify this message and to contribute your professional expertise also. And there's also a very unique role that you have as a constituent that's very different from APHA as an organization or us as lobbyists at APHA. That you're able to go to your elected official and say, I'm a constituent, and this is what's happening in my community, to my family, to the district, to the state. And that elected official has a vested interest in you, in the community, and even if it's not where they're really caring about the health, maybe they care about different aspects of the community, whether it's jobs or whatnot, something else. But they also care about being reelected and job security. And so them hearing what their constituents want is absolutely critical. So with that, I just wanted to talk about a few of the different ways you can engage and to show that there is really some good potential for influence. This bar chart shows that if your member or senator has not yet arrived at a firm decision on an issue, how much influence you might have on these different strategies influencing their decision. And the one at the top is in-person visits from constituents. So that's a really good opportunity right there to influence them. And I'd also add that this bar chart doesn't speak to it necessarily. It talks about whether they have arrived or not arrived at a firm decision, but politics are constantly changing, and from one day to another, their firm decision might not be so firm tomorrow. There might have been other aspects that have shifted that create a change and opportunity to influence there. The other thing I'd point out, so there are a lot of great opportunities for engagement, including individualized emails, phone calls, even a comment during a teletown hall. And all of these rank very highly. They rank above a visit from a lobbyist even. But I would point out the two differences. There's form email messages that you see towards the bottom versus individualized, personalized email messages. There's definitely a difference between that. And I just wanted to point that out because the form email message is what we talk about as action alerts from APHA. And hopefully everybody received one yesterday morning. One went out talking about the importance of funding for public health. And we'll have another one coming out on Tuesday talking about gun violence and the importance of taking a comprehensive approach and taking action on gun violence. And so that form email message has an opportunity to have an influence, but if you are able and have the time to include some personalization, there's great opportunity to have an even greater influence. And the different ways that you can personalize it is to add the impact of a bill on the state or the district, or a reason for supporting or opposing the bill, or adding in relevant personal stories. So any personal touch can really go a long way in personalizing that message. And then that other opportunity that you saw that was at the top of the first bar chart, seeing that congressional visits can have a great influence. In advocacy, as in any relationship, it's critical for both parties to have a trust in one another. And this can really be developed by having those in-person relationships, so you have that eye-to-eye contact, and you can build that information and build on the information and trust. It's a good opportunity to share materials on the specific public health issue that you're talking about to add to their information base, or also crafting those local rich stories, personal stories, so that it moves from being just a program on a piece of paper that they read about and they know as just it's knowing, but it's not quite understanding and feeling what that means. And then also it jumps out from, let's say, just a line item on a budget to saying, oh, we can slash that by however $1 million, but now they understand what that really impact means. And then you can let them know of your expertise, and this, one, establishes credibility, and also, two, then you become this trusted resource so that they reach back to you, so that it's not just a one-way street of you always reaching out to them, but when they start engaging on issues, they remember, hey, Greg Wolf came to me to talk about vision issues. That is extremely important. I don't know much about it. I want to take action on this, and now I'm going to reach out to him to ask how I can engage or how I can craft a better piece of legislation. And if you've never done a congressional visit, it might seem somewhat intimidating, or if you already have and others, you hear others want to engage and you don't know where to send them or how to start, we have some very easy materials that you can pull from online, how to find your elected official, tips for arranging a meeting, and then a sample meeting request and tips for conducting a meeting. It's pretty much no different than asking for a meeting with any other professional person, scheduling a doctor's visit, anything like that. It just might seem like there's this gap between you and your elected official, and just to make that first step forward can sometimes seem a little bit overwhelming. And then we have our Public Health Action Campaign. This happens every summer. Hopefully you all have gotten emails. Just by a raise of hands, who's heard of the FACT campaign? Okay, good. I hope every year I ask that, and I hope for a few more hands in the room, and it seems like it's gaining a little bit of steam. It's been, we've been doing this campaign for about 6 or 7 years, I believe, and we focus on the summer months because there's an entire month in August where members of Congress go back home. They're in their districts. They have more time to engage with constituents. Some of their D.C. staffers also go back to the local districts, and it's a good opportunity to meet with them and build those relationships. We had a ton of great successes, and I know as we first started, it was kind of hard for some people to get over the hurdle of, okay, how do I do this? How do I move forward? But now we have a lot of great, rich resources, including APHA members and affiliates who have now engaged and can provide kind of that leadership and mentorship. There were a ton of meetings that happened. What's been exciting is now some of those have been followed up with also some social media efforts. And then we ask if anybody does engage to reach back out to us at APHA and let us know, because then we can amplify that. We share a lot of the photos. We share anything on Twitter, on Facebook, and online where we list all of the LTEs and op-eds that have been published. And we have resources for all of these activities, including templates for op-eds. And then just to list, I'm gonna just run through these quick so you know what's available, what's online for you to be able to engage. We have fact sheets on state-specific issues, and then we also have fact sheets on each of the priority issues we engage on every year at APHA, along with a ton of other issues as well. We have some pretty cool infographics and reports and issue briefs that get more into the nitty-gritty. We also have a vote record that comes out in February in the Nation's Health. And this is really helpful to be able to see how your member is voting. We pull out some of those key votes from throughout the year that impact public health, and it essentially gives them a grade or a percentage. So if you're walking into an office, you have a general feeling for, are they pretty supportive of public health? Are they not? How have they voted? And then we have a monthly legislative update. It comes out the first Friday of every month, and we follow that up by a call, and it goes over, it's a summary of all of the key issues that we've weighed in on over the month, so you can see what APHA is saying, what we're doing, the outlook for that bill, that regulation, whatever it is we're engaging on. And it's rich in content, and the call also provides a time and space for you to ask questions if you have any questions on those issues or what that outlook is, how you can engage. And then we also have webinars throughout the year and more resources. So a wealth of resources. These I separated out on a different slide because they're often ways that we've engaged, but folks don't think about them as resources and materials to be used. These, we're constantly submitting letters to Congress, to the White House, to federal agencies. We submit regulatory comments, testimony for congressional hearings, and then also briefs to support or oppose public health-related court cases. as well as our APHA policy statement. So these are really rich in content. They always discuss what the position is, why we took that position, what the public health impact is. And you're more than welcome to just grab these and use these as talking points. You know, we're more than happy for you to be able to just to move that message forward as well. And that is it for me. My email address is up here, nicole@apha.org, and you're more than welcome to reach out if you have any, if you need technical assistance with doing congressional visits, you want to send anybody my way as well who needs some support. I welcome you to reach out. We'd love to have a lot more engagement so we can really have that loud, unified voice for public health so we can really move those issues forward.